have a dear friend of mine that was a classmate when I was in Rome who spent another, I don't even know how many years in school following time there to finish her doctorate in biblical studies. She wrote her doctoral dissertation on the Song of Songs that we heard in the first reading, to which she was told that she definitively confirmed that it's not just love poetry, but God's intention of speaking his heart to his bride, the church. His words are important for us to hear because often in our brokenness and our weakness and our shortcoming and our inabilities and all of these things, we do not speak to ourselves in that way. We don't acknowledge God's love for us as he tenderly speaks it in that first reading. God doesn't speak to you with flowery words or things that are untrue because he's trying to manipulate you, my brothers and sisters. When God speaks to you, he speaks to you in truth, period. And when he speaks to you in truth, he teaches you how you are to speak to yourself. We would often believe, without actually thinking through it, because if we thought through it logically, we wouldn't hold this belief, but we somehow believe that we know ourselves better than God. And God can be nice to us because he has to, because he's God and he's good. But I can be mean to myself because I deserve it. There's a phrase I will not say in church what that is. It's not true. The way that God speaks to you in kindness, in mercy, in love, in tenderness, in truth, even when that truth is hard, is exactly how we are to treat ourselves and to speak to ourselves, period. Anything else is from the devil. And I don't think you want the devil teaching you how to speak to yourself. This is how God speaks to us. His desire to come to be in our presence. What is our response to be when God draws near to us? Well, let's look at the gospel text, shall we? What do we see? Mary carrying the incarnate word of God in her womb travels in haste to the hill country of Judah to visit her cousin Elizabeth, to help her in her time of need, in her pregnancy, in her old age. She bears God within herself. She comes to Elizabeth. And who is it that bears witness? Who is it that bears witness to the presence of God? It's not Elizabeth. It's John the Baptist. In her womb, who dances for joy. It says he leaps, but where do we see this? If you find in the Old Testament an echo, a prefigurement of this encounter, then just turn and find where King David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And in his bringing of the old Ark to Jerusalem that contained within it prefigurements of Jesus, we see that King David is dancing for joy before the ark as it is brought into Jerusalem. So too, we see it fulfilled when the real ark, which doesn't carry within it prefigurements of Jesus, but the real deal, travels through the hill country of Judea, and John the Baptist leaps for joy in his mother's womb. What is the disposition of your heart at the approach of God? Is it fear, anger, frustration, worry? I tell you what it's supposed to be. It's revealed to us by a child, a baby, too small to speak, in his mother's womb. It teaches us that the proper response to the coming of our Lord is joy. So if our disposition is not joy, it is not God's problem. It is more than likely ours. And whatever needs to be done in our own hearts and in our own life, in our own home, in our own mind, in our own, whatever it is, it needs to change or be whatever truth that needs to be spoken into our heart so that we would receive him rightly. That's what needs to happen. It's kind of what Advent is supposed to be. What do I need to set aside so that my heart is joyful at the coming of our Lord? So, it's what we're supposed to be. We're taught by children. A little baby John, filled with the Holy Spirit, properly announcing the presence of God by his joy within his mother's womb. May we in the womb of the church also experience great joy as we prepare to celebrate the coming of Jesus. Amen.